Want to know more about what your favorite ninjas have on their minds? Check out the American Ninja Warrior podcast. It's available wherever you get your podcasts, and it's a great listen for any Ninja Warrior fan.
Hello, 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 everyone. I'm Rob Wolf, and welcome to episode number 24 of Unformidable, where we take a look at some of the less heralded Mets in our beloved franchise's quirky history, as every player who dons the orange and blue is, in their own way, unformidable. Tonight, on a very special Unformidable, I shouldn't joke, I mean, that's the whole point, the Mets are hanging on for dear life in the playoff race. When we came up with the idea for this show, you know, I thought I'd try my best whenever possible to make the players relevant, analogous to what's going on with the Mets, or with the time of year, or what another Met has accomplished, and so forth. Although, obviously, there are just going to be some random and obscure Mets thrown in there for no good reason. But one thing I knew for sure early on was that I would do this one right around now, and go back to a time when the stupidity and the hubris of making any kind of life-or-death analogies about baseball or jokes about baseball being so important, or playoffs or sports, a time when joking about that went out of vogue for a while, to the fall of 2001. Because today I thought we'd talk about a pitcher who would only make 11 starts for the Mets, but he did make one in one of the most memorable games in Mets history. That, of course, the post 9/11 return of baseball to New York, the Mike Piazza home run game into the camera stand in dead center at Shea Stadium, and of course the starting pitcher of that game was Bruce Chen. I assume this is probably less of an obscure fact than I'd like it to be to do this show, given how often this game is shown on Mets Classics. I don't want to go off on a rant, but basically I see this game, Johan's no-hitter, and David Cone's 19-strikeout game over and over on Mets Classics, and because that last one's what I really want to relive, like the denouement of a great yet unfulfilled era of baseball, with a player who's possibly going to get arrested on rape charges and who would go on to rack up World Series rings with our crosstown rival, including one against us. That's a Met Classic for me. Thanks, SNY. Does anyone know why they can't show like the 2015 playoffs? I would sit down and watch any game from that Dodger series start to finish on Mets Classics. Are you not allowed to show them? Can they not afford, are they just too cheap to pay for the rights to the games? I don't get it, but I do enjoy seeing the 9/21 game on Mets Classics when it comes on. And also, I'm sorry, Bruce Chen, you don't deserve my rant. You deserve your own time and our appreciation of your contribution to a true Mets classic. Bruce Chen was born and raised in Panama. He is of Chinese descent, but he was born in June of 1977 in Panama, and he signed with the Atlanta Braves as an amateur free agent July 1, 1993. So basically, as soon as he turned 16, Latin American signing rules, the Braves signed him. I always bring this up a lot on the podcast, maybe it's just my ignorance, but I feel like there was less information available about players in the minor leagues than there are now. We have an embarrassment of riches and Amazing Avenue and our staff's incredible coverage of the minors, but that's nationally, there's a lot more coverage and attention paid to prospects, and of course a lot more prospect hugging by fans and knowledge of prospects, or at least knowledge of their names and who should be traded and not traded. I don't remember that as much in the 80s and 90s, and I just remember that Bruce Chen, he's never an overpowering pitcher, but he seemed like a possible future star in the minors, and I feel like he was presented that way when he came up. He tore through the minor leagues for the Braves, maybe not tore through, but as he developed, he was 19, 20. In 1997, he made the South Atlantic League All-Star game. with a 12-7 record. And in 1998, he was on full ascent between AA and AAA. He struck out more than a batter an inning at each level, made 23 starts in AA, was named Southern League All-Star, the most outstanding pitcher in the Braves organization, Braves Minor League Pitcher of the Year. I don't know where he stood in prospect rankings, overrated, properly rated, but at the time, I remember it just felt like a quintessential, the rich get richer, you know, the Braves with that embarrassed, that all-time pitching staff, and here they have this young left-hander coming up, potentially another stud pitcher, very well hyped, and, you know, minor league pitcher of the year type credentials, and it's just like, come on, do the Braves really need another pitcher? Whether or not that was his reputation, he certainly, you know, was more of a journeyman with a lengthy and impressive career that we'll revisit at the end. But just to go more chronologically, with that 98 season where he excelled in the minors, Chen actually came up to the big club in September and made his MLB debut with the Braves on September 7th, 1998, against our New York Mets and at Shea Stadium. Chen's major league debut did not go well for him. He left in only 3 innings, allowing 4 runs on 6 hits. The Braves rallied against the Mets bullpen, as they tend to do, and tended to do back then, scoring 5 in the 6th inning to take a 7-6 lead. But Edgardo Alfonso hit a 2-run home run against John Rocker in the bottom of the 8th inning on a rainy 1998 Labor Day at Shea Stadium to give the Mets the 8-7 victory. And yes, I did partly relive that whole game just to mention Edgardo Alfonso homering off of John Rocker, because that was, and always will be, delightful. But Chen was up and down for the Braves in 98 and 99. He was not on the Braves' 1999 postseason roster, so there was no Chen, no more dramatic Chen against the Mets pitching before he eventually made his way to New York. Chen was traded by the Braves in 2000 to the Phillies on July 12th for veteran starter Andy Ashby. Ashby, if you don't remember him, is a Rob Wolf fantasy baseball favorite for some reason. Unusual for me because I'm not a strikeout pitcher, but he was a very effective veteran innings eater. I mean, not that much different from a right-handed Chen, so I guess it was, you know, I don't know if the Braves had soured on him or just wanted a veteran pitcher in 2000 for a playoff race, so sending the younger pitcher to the Phillies to pick up the veteran. Chen actually outpitched Ashby down the stretch in 2000. He went 3-4 with the Phillies with a 3.63 ERA and 15 starts, but he struggled with the Phillies in 2001 and with a 5 ERA and got sent down to AAA in July, and the Phillies were having a better year in 2001 at that point than the Mets. So on July 27th, in a move that looked a bit like a typical Met retooling and not a full rebuild, the Mets traded Dennis Cook and Turk Wendell, two of the most memorable relievers of that Bobby V, Mojo Rizin Mets era, to the Philadelphia Phillies. I forgot they got traded together. That I must have been sad. I found them both highly entertaining. But Cook and Wendell going to the Phillies for two young lefties, Bruce Chen and AA lefty Adam Walker. At the time of the trade, the Mets were 10 games under 500, and per the New York Times article on the trade, it is late July and the season is essentially over. And the article went on to speculate that the Mets might consider trading more veterans such as Rick Reed or Al Leiter, but yeah, there were financial concerns and a doubt that the team wanted to do a full teardown. I mean, you've been hearing the story for 18 years, so you essentially get it.
When you start losing your hair, there's no magical cure, but there is a way to stop hair loss from happening in the first place. It's called Keeps, and it's a treatment that's proven up to 90% effective at reducing and stopping further hair loss. You don't have to go to the doctor's office or stand in line at the pharmacy for a prescription. You'll visit a doctor online and they'll send the medication right to you in a discreet package. And with Keeps starting at just $10 a month, you don't have to go broke to avoid going bald. 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35. So prevention is key. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save. Nearly 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. they have more 5-star reviews than any of their competitors. So take action now and visit Keeps.com/SBNation. With our special offer, you'll receive your first month of treatment for free at Keeps.com/SBNation. That's KEEPS.com/SBNation.
Hey, I'm Spencer Hall.
I'm Holly Anderson.
I'm Ryan Nanny.
I'm Jason Kirk, and we're the hosts of the Shutdown Fullcast, your Avengers of College Football podcast. It says here in the script I'm to riff on what that means, and basically what I mean is it's all already spoiled.
Every Tuesday, we talk about everything from cooking disasters to pro wrestling to unfashionable pants we wore in middle school.
We also do talk about college football every now and then, like mascot fights, announcers fleeing the booth early, and unfashionable pants that coaches wear now.
If you want to take college football exactly as seriously as it should be taken, subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or in your favorite podcast app.
Chen was in AAA with the Phillies, but, you know, for a Met team that looked like their season was over, he came right to the big club and joined the rotation. He went 3-1 in 8 starts through September 8th, 2001, going 6-plus innings in every start except for that start on September 8th when he failed to get out of the first inning against the Marlins. The Mets would come back to win that game 9-8. That victory was 9-8 on September 8th. That game was their 6th victory in a row, and their 10th out of 11 to bring them to 71-72. They would fail to reach 500 on September 9th, losing the series finale to the Marlins. And of course, they would not play again until September 17th due to world events. And it would wind up being Bruce Chen's turn in the rotation when the Mets played the very first game back in New York on September 21st, 2001. I probably don't need to recount the game details for you, and people far smarter and more eloquent than I have recounted and broken down the symbolic details of the game, so most of that is probably unnecessary, but I do remember attending that game, and I do remember not being annoyed at how long it took me to get inside Shea Stadium, which is a lesson I've unfortunately forgotten over the last 18 years. I do remember. I'm not like I tend to think those things are overrated, but I remember, you know, being a little afraid to go, or like having people suggest that it was not a good idea to go to the game, and, you know, usually I brush those things aside as absurd, but yeah, I remember thinking that there was some validity in that viewpoint, but really thinking that, you know, Shea Stadium was a place I needed to be to feel a little more back to normal. And it really was for that night. Remember Diana Ross singing God Bless America, the bagpipes and the Amazing Grace, and of course the Mets coming out as they had been from when they started back on the road in Pittsburgh, and as they would do through the end of the season with the hats representing New York's first responders. And of course the starting pitcher in that game, which I think is a beautiful New York piece, a 24-year-old man of Chinese descent from Panama. And Bruce Chen had his finest start as a Met, obviously for symbolic purposes, but also his second best start for statistical purposes, with a game score of 67, topped only by his second start as a Met when he threw 7 shutout innings against the Brewers for a game score of 78. But Bruce Chen was excellent, and you know, I found some quotes from him where he talked about appearing in that game and, you know, how proud he was to wear the Fire Department of New York hat before the game, people crying when the national anthem was sung. To have the fans cheering, actually laughing and enjoying it for those 2-3 hours was huge for us as a team. Chen said he didn't remember feeling especially nervous before the first pitch, which does sound pretty amazing, but, you know, as people echoed all the time in those days, he said, after everything that happened, pitching in a game seemed so small. Pitching was just something I could do to bring a sense of normalcy back in New York. All I wanted to do was go out there and make everyone in the city proud. And, you know, I think it's often overlooked in the, you know, well-regardedly lauded heroics of Mike Piazza, But Jen did. You know, so many games against the Braves, I just expected the Braves to ruin things and break our hearts, you know, again, just in baseball terms, much less in this larger importance world. So, you know, Bruce Chen went out 7 innings, only 1 unearned run, and, you know, left in a tie game. And the Mets bullpen let the Braves take a 2-1 lead in the top of the eighth, setting up Piazza's heroics, but, you know, again, made possible by the excellent pitching of Bruce Chen. And, of course, that Braves dynasty was getting on its last legs in 2001, and, you know, all of a sudden the Mets had a little bit of a pennant race in front of them as they won that game, and I really believed it was our manifest destiny to take those reins. And I won't go on about the home run, the Kurt Suzuki home run. If Greg Prince talks about something, no one else can talk about it better, so there's no point. So just go read his article on Faith and Fear in Flushing about Jordan Vu, and how the Suzuki home run absolutely reminded me of that Brian Jordan home run later in September against the Braves. That season it really felt like the New York thing and the Mets, and, like, you know, the Mets are the underdog team in New York, and that would have been the more appropriate thing. And actually, one of the times I felt like I was getting back to normal after at the end of 2001 was when people were like, well, you have to root for the Yankees this year. And I was like, no, I don't. I do not have to root for the Yankees. They do not represent my New York. And I was delighted to see them lose that World Series. And in its own way, that made me, as a Met fan, feel a little bit back to normal in New York, perverse as that might be. But thank you, baseball. But Chen struggled in his last two starts of 2001, and the Mets' 25-6 run that they went on in August and September petered out and left them short of the playoffs in 2001. And Chen's time with the Mets was coming to an end. He started the 2002 season with the organization, but only made one appearance with the major league team in relief. And just shortly after opening day on April 5th, he was traded to the Expos for Phil Siebel, Scott Strickland, and Matt Watson. The Mets also later sent Saul Rivera as a player to be named later to the Expos to complete the trade. I guess you could argue that Chen's journeyman days had already begun. Even then, at age 25, he was on his fourth team, his fourth NL East team. Never made it to the Marlins, though, which I doubt he regrets. But he would really start moving in June of that same year. He was only on Expos for 2 months before being traded to Cincinnati. And thereafter, he was a free agent, latching on with different teams. He moved from the Astros to the Red Sox to the Orioles. Had a very good 2005 with Baltimore, going 13-10 with a 3.83 ERA and 197 and a third innings, which I believe was his highest or his second highest WAR that he recorded in a season. Second highest, 1.1 for Baltimore that year. And but then he went 0-7 with a 6.93 ERA in 40 appearances with Baltimore the following year. So that was the end of his tenure with Baltimore. Then Chen would spend a year in the Rangers organization before he found a late career home in Kansas City. He spent 2009 through 2014 with the Kansas City Royals. He went 47-43 with the team, 156 games, including 113 games started. It's been an interesting article on Fangraphs from 2013 where it seemed that Chen kind of embraced sabermetrics thanks to the influence of Brian Bannister in the Rangers organization, and how he tried to incorporate it into his pitching approach and aim to get more ground balls and improve his pitching, although he did say that, you know, you can over inundate yourself with information and that it was a tough balance to incorporate it but still kind of pitch naturally. It was an interesting article to find. For his major league career, Chen recorded 10.3 WAR, wound up with a winning record, 82 wins, 81 losses, 4.62 ERA. He pitched 1,532 major league innings, 1,140 strikeouts, 1.386 whip. So did have to work around a lot of base runners, but a nice successful little career there, an incredibly lengthy career over 17 seasons. For the Mets, he recorded a negative 0.1 war in his 12 games and 11 starts, but that doesn't take into account his very impressive contribution to a very emotional, very important game to New York, for which Bruce Chen will always be a very unformidable New York Met. He ended his career in the Indians organization, where he took a job afterwards, and I thought very interesting, again, in a cool multicultural way. Chen had pitched for Panama in the World Baseball Classic in, I think, 2009, and he unretired. He retired after the 2015 season with the Indians, and as I said, worked in their organization, but then he unretired to pitch in the 2017 World Baseball Classic for China, where he said it was a great opportunity to represent his heritage and the Cleveland Indians and Major League Baseball and help with the peaking, growing interest of baseball in China. I feel like there probably are some other players who have played for two different countries in the World Baseball Classic to try and promote it with some places where baseball is growing and up and coming. But I thought that was a really cool and nice touch. So in his final competition, Major League Baseball involved or sponsored, Chen threw 2 2/3 scoreless innings for China in the World Baseball Classic with his 49 pitch limit against Cuba. So that was his final appearance on a pitching mound in major competition. Thank you, Bruce Chen, for a wonderful baseball career and one incredibly unformidable September day at Shea Stadium. And thank you all for taking the time to listen to Unformatable. Please go to AmazonAvenue.com for more Mets-related content. Follow Amazon Avenue on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find this and all of our amazing pods wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify. Please subscribe, leave a review. Original music by Bunga. I'm on Twitter at WolfRR, WOLFFRR, and the show is at Unformatable. Thank you, and let's go Mets.